It's time for the motherfucking Nerd Rap Podcast. And salute niggas. I know niggas be at work. It's Friday. But I'll be off. And my kids don't got school today. So I don't gotta drive nobody nowhere till like in an hour. So I'm with the smoke. What's going on, everybody? Motherfucking Nerd Rap Podcast. Wanted to touch back bases today because Friday happened. There was a lot of new developments, you know what I mean, in the world at large, and a lot of people wanted me to talk about a few things. Salute to my man. Inboxed me, wanted me to talk about Kendrick Lamar and the Drake thing and the Diddy thing, and I wanted to. First, I want to formulate an opinion that was informed and not just say some shit, but also wanted to make sure that I actually can articulate everything, you know, unbiasedly, because I know bias for certain artists may influence my opinion and how I speak on certain things. So let's get into it, man. Kendrick just let off on Cole and Drake. I'm not in the party to say that Kendrick is overrated, but I've never really been a fan of Kendrick. But I think a lot of people say that that's dismissive when I say that. Out of the three, I liked Kendrick the most. I actually liked Kendrick Lamar the most as an artist when he first started. I feel as though the diss that he said was solid. Like, it was a little back and forth. But do I feel he just slaughtered Drake and J. Cole? No, I feel it was dope, but was it good enough for me? Like, yo, I gotta get in the booth tomorrow. No, it wasn't. It's like right now, niggas is on fire. So it's like, Kendrick, this is the first we've seen you since Mr. Morale, and I'm just saying this as a fan of Kendrick Lamar, and I want to preface this. I am a fan of what Kendrick does. I'm a fan of the type of art he makes. The Pimp a Butterfly, to me, is his best album. I love that album. I think it was a beautiful piece of art. But I think this is where my distinction comes, is that I think The Pimp a Butterfly was an amazing album, but I don't think it was a good hip-hop album. I think as a hip-hop album, it was kind of a mess. It was just a lot of shit going on. It wasn't really structured well. But as a piece of artwork, it was beautiful for what he was saying, what it meant, just for the paradigm black culture at the time. It was a beautiful piece of art. It was more of a celebration of black music than a rap album to me. And mind you, there are songs that to this day I love, If These Walls Could Talk. So if we're going to talk about albums, The Pimp a Butterfly out of the three, he's made my favorite album. But my issue going forward is just that, yo, last album wasn't that good. Miss Morales wasn't that good. So the first time I hear from you is a diss. To me, it wasn't the craziest, you know? So, that's my opinion. Do I think it was ass? I think it's going to say no. I don't think Kendrick was ass. I want Kendrick to get back to, you know, that Good Kid, Mad City shit. Like, bro, I love the artsy experimentation of art too, but I want rappers to be proud to be rappers. I'm tired of you niggas trying to be so avant-garde and trying to break the boundaries of what hip-hop can be considered. Bro, we just want y'all to get on beat. Have good bars, bro, and y'all don't do that enough to where y'all can decide to start making these art house, you know, Sundance ass rap albums. Stop, you niggas trying to be the next Martin Scorsese of rap music, and we just want y'all to rap good, and there's so few of y'all doing that. So for J. Cole, for 2 years he's been dropping features that's been flame. Drake, I don't think Drake good, so he's not really the person I talk about, but I just, if I had to look at it, J. Cole to me is more of what I want from hip hop. I want the subject matter. I want the topics. I want the third eye shit too. But I want the good rapping. I want the dope production. I want the beats. You know what I mean? So as far as Kendrick and who I feel in a battle, Kendrick versus Cole and Drake, I feel this is more towards Drake, to be real, because those are the niggas who've been sending the sub back and forth, because he felt the way since the Control verse. And you know, even with the Control verse, that was Big Sean's song. You know what I mean? Nigga just remembered it for Kendrick name dropping. So this ain't the first time Kendrick done took collabo, and it's pretty much about him. We forget it's on another nigga album, and the whole album that it's on was basically trolling Drake and 21 Savage's album with the title. Like every title of the song is like a troll. So there's a lot of internal beef going on in the rap game right now. But because niggas don't rap good enough, they have to get Kendrick Lamar to be like the bar guy. Yeah, Cole kind of in the middle. Like this, Cole kind of just caught it because he's part of the big three. But me personally, this is more towards him and Drake. Him and Drake have been beefing since Control. Because I don't think niggas remember before when Section 80 was being pushed around, Kendrick wasn't really known. Drake was putting him on his tours at the time when Drake was bubbling. So Drake was like, you know, just one of my closest friends, interview. So then when Kendrick did the Control first, Drake did an interview and saying, yo, man, it's dope for what it is, but I'm not going to work with it no time soon. Salute. He felt the way about it. He openly said that. So that's why Kendrick went on the BET Cypher and sent a shot at Drake. So they've been subbing each other for years. This isn't new. Anybody, like I be wondering when niggas say they fans of hip hop, like, you know, a lot of this, like, catching the little subs in they songs, that was the joy, because no one was just outright saying. Yeah, Kendrick's always said he don't want to be grouped with them. And as an artist, that makes sense. A lot of time, bro, when you that nigga, bro, I don't want to be in a circle with y'all. So it's none of this is for niggas to take sides over. Like, some nigga jumped on my comments saying niggas say anything. I'll be ready to slap shit out, niggas. So I'm glad I said this on Facebook. But at the same time, I think the comment for people to say that, oh, Kendrick's clout chasing is a little crazy. Because this is nothing new from Kendrick. He been headshotting niggas, you know what I mean? And for right now, this is a headshot. Am I saying it's the greatest diss ever? Hell no. But Kendrick was always more of like he catches dope cadences, he catches dope flow patterns. Like he's a good rapper. He's a good rapper. Said that's crazy talk. Niggas be wilding like Kendrick clout chasing. And he's not fucking clout chasing. Kendrick's one of the greatest rappers of this time. He's not clout chasing. But at the same time, I don't think this diss was that. You feel me? Was it like a dope, like, little shop? Yeah, the nice little flow, like, you in the club, all getting in Kendrick spin. But is this like, am I going to put this as one of the greatest disses ever? Fuck no. He didn't say a name this time. Like, yeah, this isn't a headshot. No, this is a fact. This wasn't a headshot. This was, you grazed him. Like, you sent a shot, but, like, it went through the shoulder. You know what I mean? Like, it passed the shoulder. You feel me? Nigga did a Matrix move at the last minute. Like, he gave you time to dodge and shit. But I don't think this was like, you feel me? This wasn't like, oh my gosh, he killed a nigga. Like, the type of verses Cole been dropping for the past 2 years, Kendrick gotta do more than that. I'm saying this objectively as a hip hop fan. Kendrick, if this is what you're trying to say, is I'm the best out of the big three, we gonna pair this to like Cole's, it's the cheese on the trap. Nah, that's a fact, boy. Yeah, niggas be lying, bro. Like, so Kendrick and Drake, that shit fire. But as far as hip hop beefs, we're just excited because for the most part, I'm just keeping it real. Hip hop didn't really like it being dominated by females, but we won't talk about that weird ass sexist ass shit niggas be on. Niggas didn't like it that it was dominated by women, so like we kind of glad that it's spinning back to what we're normal niggas. Gossiping. Now I think we're saying that like Drake and Future fell out over an artist. They were saying it was some IG model at first. If that's the case, I'll about to say you niggas is hoes if y'all falling out over women neither y'all married to. That's nasty work. But then again, if it's a Joe Budden and Ish situation, it might be more a principle. Cause sometimes niggas be using that as the excuse to do shit that's clearly like fugazi and in disguise, like, well, that ain't your wife though. No, but still goofy ass behavior. Like, it don't excuse it, you feel me? So, but yeah, so that's my general consensus on that with Kendrick, bro. I don't feel like niggas is like, oh, the kill shot. It ain't no kill shot. It was a solid, like, nigga loaded the clip, you feel me? And he let all dummy rounds. So that's how I felt about it. But I feel like niggas overhype a lot, overhype everybody. these guys are just rappers. In my personal opinion, I don't feel like any rapper in the past 10 years, when y'all talk about how they did go some of the best rappers, niggas ain't really been doing no amazing rapping in a long time, bro. Like, Jordan Lucas, like, they rap fast, they got dope bars and shit, but, like, I ain't never heard a nigga who just legitimately, like, amazing me with his lyricism, and I mean just the bars he has themselves, in a long time. Yeah, like, he put a little monkey wrench and shit, but, like, bro, nigga just, like, like, you know when you driving, and, like, you see something in the road, and, like, it could fuck your car up if you run over it, but for the most part, you got enough time just drive around that bitch, knowing you ain't driving around nobody. So you got all the room to maneuver your car. It's one of those. Like, it's a pothole, but like, it ain't one of those. And I'm gonna be real. When it came to like Drake and Pusha T, if it wasn't for the chatty patty nature of what Pusha T said in his diss track, and you listen to Drake's what was this shit called? Doofy. He kind of killed Pusha, bro. Objectively, I like Pusha T music better. I like his production better, but just, we're going to be fair. Niggas, Drake did rap. He came rapping against Pusha, bro. And he kind of flamed him, bro. Like, yeah, Pusha dropped about you hiding your son. They understand they all buddy drugs. Right, see, back in the day, you know, we had crackheads too, but like the crackheads still want to smoke. Like you know what I mean? Like that's a fact, bro. These niggas just pop Zans and be near death together in the club and be friends, and then they fall out because the nigga said he won't be better than you. Now it's like y'all got real beef. It's not just rap beef. They fighting in club. Like, we don't even get rap diss songs no more. These niggas just go on live and Instagram and just tweet all day. Like, this shit lame, you know what I mean? But then niggas don't rap good enough. Like, of course you're gonna get on, make tweets. Like, rappers was cool back then. That's a fact. I mean, nigga, put it like this, bro. You rap and I rap. We both cool, right? I fuck with you. Like, I've known you for years. Bro, if I get on the song with you, I'm trying to be the better nigga, bro. And there's no feelings attached, bro. Like, niggas know what time this is. Like niggas be best friends. But if I go in the ring to box with you, bro, I'm trying to take your fucking head off, bro. Like, I respect you enough to not fake the funk like it's something else. You feel me? Like, that's where the game get missed. Like, the sportsmanship of hip-hop's gone. The illusion that this is something else other than a business and, like, a job got past niggas, and they thought this is like the entryway to being like a god in Mount Olympus, because you see the 1% of niggas who rich as hell. For the most part, bro, like, yeah, that's how I approach life, bro. Like, this period, bro. Like, I don't, like, listen, bro. When I came into anything, the comic books, the tattooing, whatever, when niggas came into this shit, bro, being better than you was kind of per course, but it's how I treated my peer in that pursuit that mattered. If I want to be better than you, it's because I respect you enough to treat you as a goal. But I don't have to hide that. That's really the thing. Niggas hide the fact that they admire and respect people. Kendrick, Drake, Cole, they respect each other. They all respect each other. Kendrick is just a nigga who's a hip-hopper first. So, like, I'm not... Yeah, that's the calling call. Like, bro, I'm that nigga, bro. Well, what makes you that nigga? Here, let me show you I'm that nigga. That's literally hip-hop, bro. Like, you in a cypher, bro. That's why I used to love the cypher. The cypher was do or die. We're right there, bro. Show you that nigga right now. I don't give a fuck about who knows you, because I don't know you. Show me you that nigga right now. I remember the times I came to the cypher and I dropped the ball, stumbled, and I had my verse ready. Okay, nigga, I don't know who the fuck. Shit, I guess you ain't nobody. And you got to eat that. You gotta come harder, bro. Ain't no feelings, bro. This is... It's a blood sport, bro. We don't... So, the feelings... I don't even think Kendrick puts himself in that Big Three conversation. That Big Three conversation is reductive to hip-hop. Nigga, and in the reality, it's not true. Like, yes, you have the three who have a strong fan base, who are respected, critical acclaim. That's why niggas say Jay the GOAT. They don't say Jay the GOAT because they have the most sales. They say that Jay the GOAT because he knows how to manage and stay on top of the game with quality, consistent product. He treat the game like drugs. It ain't about having the best Coke is about being in the conversation of the best Coke all the time. Because after a while, your consistency of quality is going to be the test of time. There's some niggas who have the greatest year ever, and then they're gone. But it's hard as hell to be in that top percentile all your career. So it's a lot of conversation to success. I just think hip-hop limits it in that regard with the Kendrick shit. But yeah, so Kendrick, Drake, these niggas don't compete no more. Like, these niggas just be friends or they're gang members and then they fall out. Future, I don't even think he's part of a big three artist for real. Because I didn't even consider him a rapper. I didn't know he was a rapper. I thought, like, he do a lot of, like, the singing T-Pain type of shit. So I didn't know if he was, like, a hip-hop artist. I don't consider him a rapper. You know, if he is in that big three, our standards for rap are in the fucking... into shit right now if Future's in that conversation. Like, the nigga don't... But I remember Future's song. I woke up in a new Bogart. Nigga don't even be rhyming, bro. Hell no. But we're gonna pivot. We might jump back to that Kendrick shit. I mean, I put trap rap in a different category in general. Because that's not more, you know, a lot of them, just to be real, aren't really like fundamentalist hip hop artists. They're literally just the soundtrack of the streets. So I put them in their own category. But like, if we're gonna go off that, yeah, definitely Future got the streets on Smash. Like, Future consistently has the streets on Smash. Nigga, he had the streets on Smash when we was in, you know what I mean? We was young. So like, it's nigga, I'm 30. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah, the streets, he dominates that. Like if you collaborate with Future, like, notice Kendrick got on a Future collabo, because, you know, Kendrick used to tour with Future. Like, Future's a big artist, just period. He's a big artist. Like, I give him that. He's a big artist. He's a big artist on his own. And we're just talking about niggas' character. You know, if I stop talking about who these niggas is outside of music, I wouldn't be talking about none of these niggas. But just music-wise... Future definitely be having shit on Smash. That ain't up for discussion. But y'all know we gotta talk about this Diddy shit. We gotta talk about this Diddy shit. This nigga Diddy is nasty work. Nasty work. I'm gonna keep it a band. You know how I feel about this whole Diddy situation, man. I feel like with Diddy, the only thing that changed up with why the media is acting like this is because all the shit that niggas knew in the barbershop since I was a kid. Like, I remember niggas saying Diddy was slick on some bullshit for a long time, bro. A long ass time. It's like this. It's like a open secret that, like, everyone know, but we don't really got no proof of. But it's one of those things that we kind of knew. And it's this weird complex, right? Where... because a lot of our political movements were kind of closely tied to the streets, you have a lot of street dudes who are somewhat aware of, like, revolutionary rhetoric. So they do the word deceptive thing with hip hop, right? What a lot of street niggas do. They get in the music industry, they get into the entertainment industry because it's kind of easy access. Anyone can get in this bitch. That's why you got all these pedophiles, rapists, and whatnot. Not just our industries, it's any industry. That's why all these chomos, me and this motherfucker. They get in this industry, and because the gift of gab can get a lot of people by without any real credentials, you got a lot of these street niggas and hustlers who be in the music industry running shit, and all the backdoor shit that hit behind closed doors is because, of course, bro. Diddy has... The first thing with Diddy, I remember, Salute the Lotta Zay, he corrected me, the dude name was Steve Stoke, and that was buddy Nas's manager at the time, back in the day, because the Hate Me Now original video had P. Diddy on the cross, but I think P. Diddy at the time was saved, and his mother didn't like the video, so a day later, he asked, hey, could he change the video, and Steve Stoke, like, I can't do that, it's already in syndication, bro. It's already in syndication. So the next day, this nigga P. Diddy broke in his office, bro, They beat the shit out of Steve Stowe right in his office, bro. Like, it was a gang of niggas. It was him and the gang, it was bodyguards and whatnot. So P. Diddy had like a laundry list of wild ass shit he was doing. The way he was treating Kim Porter was public knowledge to most people. The way he was, you know, they've been thinking he was, you know, a body boy for a long time. And, you know, not to be homophobic towards him, because if that's what he was doing, that's his business. But it's the fact of he was using his position of power to sexually coerce people, to use people, manipulate people. And these latest lawsuits is pretty damning. And it might have opened up a can of worms for 50 Cent. I'm going to say this, a tidbit I didn't plan on. But it might be the can of worms where 50 Cent, him running his fucking mouth might have bit him in the ass. Because I guess his baby mother was a sex worker, allegedly. We're going to say allegedly because she did deny this. Of her being a sex worker for Diddy, according to this alleged lawsuit and the paperwork. Being a sex worker, the paperwork also alleges that Carisha, the city girl, and again, this is allegedly that used to move pink cocaine for Diddy. And because of Cassie's lawsuit with the fuck offs and trafficking sex workers from here to here, which again is a crime. I said this on TikTok. If you are having an Instagram model get into your plane explicitly for the purpose of going to have sex, that is sex trafficking. It doesn't matter if she consented. That is sex trafficking. That is illegal. Salute to my nigga Dub. And salute to my nigga Dub was just on RBE. Go check that out, man. Long time overdue. Bar heavy shit, man. And I salute the brother, man. But yeah, when you go into like Diddy history, that's what he been doing. It's been nothing new. You know what I mean? I mean, peace, bro. Again, I just tagged everybody. You can tune in whenever you get a chance to. It ain't going nowhere. But yeah, just so Diddy getting raided, that would be why that would be considered a Homeland Security thing. They raid your house, especially due to Cassie's paperwork, the fact that he settled, the evidence that she was probably bringing to court. Yeah, bro, it's been 30 years, bro. Like, ain't like this. You know what I find out a lot with, like, oh, man, R. Kelly. It's like when white people find out that a lot the shit that we kind of knew. And for the most part, niggas were saying loudly, like, there were articles on R. Kelly in the 90s in the Chicago Tribune of him being outside of high schools. There were articles of niggas exposing him for that when he was popping. It's just, again, you know, who was paying attention to the Chicago Tribune while this nigga's a nationwide celebrity? You feel me? Now it's in the internet. A lot of this information, people can just go Google check and look now. We can look at the history of these people's history. And why I said, this might have fucked up for 50 Cent, because, bro, so allegedly one of the sex workers was your baby mother. And you're saying that, oh, you want sole custody of your son. She came out and said, allegedly, you was physically abusive. And now we learned the laundry list of how you set your first baby mother house on fire. And she also used to claim you used to beat her ass. This girl says you sexually assaulted her. And then you already don't have a relationship with one son. 50 Cent might want to shut the fuck up. Shh. 50 Cent might want. That's one of those. That's one of the, hey, bro, shut the fuck up. Adamantly deny with evidence, if so. Or that's allegedly. What's going on? Just a few topics. You know, P. Diddy shit opened up a nice-ass, nasty-ass can of worms for a lot of niggas. Allegedly, P. Diddy had cameras in every room in his house. So for all, like, his little wild sex parties and shit, he got videos of all these niggas. That nigga got videos of all these niggas. Remember, P. Diddy used to hang out like Bruce Willis. Like, P. Diddy had a lot of goddamn money. A lot of goddamn money. I mean, legally, he's getting accused of sex trafficking. That's what Homeland Security is investigating for. If they're involved, but it's a problem. And again, like I'm saying, a lot of what hip-hop used to do, so I'm saying, it's going to be the crackdown on a lot of niggas because they ain't understand what sex trafficking entails. They think sex trafficking is human trafficking. And because of Hollywood and how they like to conflate the issue, which is probably why it's been so quiet, because he told them after. I mean, for the most part, what they had to shut down affiliations with Diddy anyway, because of, he can have cameras where he wants to, but that's not the issue. If, say for instance, people have to have consent to be filmed. So if you have cameras in every house and have these parties where alleged sexual acts are going on and you film them without their consent, that is illegal. That's where the line gets gray. Like, if I have cameras in every house, it doesn't matter. But I would have to still show proof that I gave consent to everybody to be filmed. So if I come in, if you come in my crib and say, yo, I got a camera in the front door. Like, in every house I'm in, I keep a camera in the front door. Oh, okay. So now you know, you at the ass and you want to embarrass yourself, do whatever on my front door, you're on camera, my nigga. And it gets sent to a database due to the company we got a security camera from. I cannot control what intern at 5 in the morning watches your stupid ass do the percolator at 3 in the morning off of Perkins Ants. I can't help you, my nigga. You're just embarrassed. That's pretty much the point. It's a murky area because it's not the fact that you have a camera. It's the fact you already have sex trafficking charges. That's why I like when allegations like this come out about people usually just run with it based on an allegation versus, nah, nigga, you good, bro. Like, any nigga try to act like you defending that nigga, bro, we not. We're just being real. Like sensationalism aside, niggas have to know just the legality of why something's happening versus what we feel is happening. A lot of people, oh, they're bringing them down. No. The legality of it is just the nature of his charges and due to what was happening in those rooms and people not being aware they're being filmed. That's just where the murky line comes. So, like, bro, again, bro, if I have a party in my crib and I tell everyone there that there's cameras in here, and again, you decide to be a freak nasty nigga when you go up there and do some shit you would never do in the public, that has nothing to do with me. Because, like, you knew you were being filmed. But if you did not know, and then I tell you, say, well, you're trying to sign a new contract, I say, well, bitch ass nigga, you was doing some hokey pokey shit that you don't want niggas to see, bro, I suggest you don't sign that contract. I'm just saying. Yeah, like, but see, and that's where I always say a lot of this is the morality of the people there. Hold on real quick. All right, we back from the Nerd Rap Podcast and shit, man. Brief intermission and shit. But yeah, man, when it comes to Kendrick and shit, bro. Yeah, when it comes to, yeah, it's like Kendrick's fan base allows this nigga to, like, skate by with being mediocre, but it'd be a lot of these niggas' fan bases, bro. Like, I feel like a lot of these niggas mid, bro. Like Benny last album with Hit Boy was cool. It's like, you Benny trying to do both, and you can't, bro. It's just, if you're going to do boom bap, bro, you got to be boom bap, bro. Got to be pure, bro. You need to get back with Alchemist, bro. I know Hit Boy and Nas found the sweet science. But Nas is a different level of rapper, bro. We just going to be real. Nas can really rap. So he can do this experimental crossbreed with DJ Khaled. And Nas is fire. As a raw MC, he can rap well. But ain't niggas that good no more, bro. Benny, you're not. You need to get in the lab with Alchemist, bro. You need to get back in the lab with Alchemist, my nigga. You need to get back in that lab. It needs to sound like a Mobb Deep album again, bro. This new breed of I want to try this trap, boom bap, hybrid shit. I be feeling y'all that NY drill shit, but ain't nobody jacking that shit, bro. I'm gonna keep it hot with y'all. That shit booty water, bro. We need that shit again, bro. We need the beat to drop and the bars to be fire, bro. I don't care about you spinning the block and your blick being out and the vocabulary is elementary, my nigga. We don't, this shit garbage, bro. It just yeah. So that's how I feel about Kendrick and Drake. Is that a concern? So that's how I feel about it. You know what I mean? And now, just to pivot to battle rap, bro, I don't know if niggas like seeing like Chess and the choking and shit, but like, who's still had hope that Chess was good? Can I ask that as like an honest like battle rap fan? Have we been like expecting greatness from Chess still? Like, still. Like, for most niggas, he would just be a journeyman at this point in his career. Like we watched him fumble more opportunities than he's gotten through three rounds for 10 years. But no one's shocked he's choking. I think I'm more shocked that people are saying they're done now. Like, why we are? And it was like, oh, he's a young dude. Y'all been saying he young for 10 years. Like, when y'all said that he was 17, you know, some of us are just a few years older than him. Like, 17. Okay, well, I'm 19, 21. Like, bro, it don't take you that long to stop choking, bro. Like, that means, like, and as niggas who battle rap, I have less excuses for it under the circumstances he said. He said real life circumstances. Real life circumstances, I almost lost a loved one right before I got on stage to rap my rounds. So I'm about to literally cry while rapping my rounds the whole time and have to keep on a poker face. I don't want to hear excuses from niggas. I know so many niggas in battle rap who put their, like, handle their business. Oh, no, he can rap. He came in at 15 and, like, I guess, but, like, other niggas came in at 15 still got together, bro. It's not his age. I don't even be one to hear about how young he was when he came in. Who give a fuck? But we all started rapping. Some of us hit the stage at 15, rapped in front of niggas, bro. A lot of us was battling back then in the schoolyard. It'd be about 300 niggas on your black lot for all y'all go to school. And niggas wasn't choking and stumbling in. So if you, No, that nigga said, you say you're a rapper. You're an MC. This is what you do. So you need, he is fire when he has it together, though. Like, we ain't gonna take away his talent. Like, Chess can rap his ass off when he wants to. He has a nice pen. He has good delivery. Like, just as a battle rapper, he has all the components to be amazing. It's just, he's not consistent. He needs to take less battles. And he needs to, you know, as far as his anxiety, because that's what it is. They're seeing this acid reflux. He has anxiety. Bro, it's one of those, like, bro, you're fire, but, like, you're not as good as we think you are because of this. This is just what, you're not that good. You're just not that good. That's what it is. You're just not that good. He has potential, but potential is like, oh, bro, on a good day, he's amazing, but he's just not that good. Like, that's not consistent. And if that's not consistent, then I can't say that. I can't base you off one shining moment every now and then if you can't consistently do this. Like, Rum Nitty, I can say that nigga's amazing because he consistently comes with three rounds. Like, every time, he always has one round where he's just doing too goddamn much with the boss. He's just bombing. Now it's consistent, but every battle, he had one round where he got that one. Yeah, ain't nothing you can do with that. He battled K-Sean on stage, and K-Sean even sat there like, Brian. Like, but he was in that second round when Rum Nitty choked. K-Sean was happy as hell, bro. You can see it on his face. The Rum Nitty choked. That nigga said, whoo. Bro, so like, nah, I judge consistency, bro. He's definitely talented, though. He's definitely talented. We'll never take that away. I think the issue in battle rap is that niggas don't We appreciate things selectively when we like somebody. We'll appreciate consistency when it's someone we like. But when it's someone we don't like, we're judging them for not being more selective in their battles. Even if they're consistent in quality. You feel what I'm saying? And I feel when it comes to Chess, he's just giving too much leeway. It's like, bro, like, how old do you need to be able to rap three rounds, like, reliably? And it's not like niggas have other jobs. This is your job. Like, I mean, You know, we were battle rapping with jobs. Like, niggas had jobs, kids, families, wives, have to attend to your children, help with homework, prepare for rounds at 3 a.m, wake up 2 hours later, take them to school. All this mad time management, and niggas can come there, no pay, 3 rounds, solely based on the hopes that we can be given a better opportunity to show that we can rap better. And that's just the niggas in the chicken circuit. So to see niggas get paid thousands of dollars, not be prepared, don't be wanting to rap, and the excuse is, yo, bro, niggas gonna be paying me what I deserve. But you can't even get through 3 rounds. I don't know. Niggas toss on chess and you get it together for your bag. Man, fuck his bag, bro. He deserved to get paid because he's a name. But am I going to pay for chess to come reliably? Like, yo, bro, I got a nigga coming in. He won a big bag, bro. Yo, chess. Nigga, chess is the nigga that after I pay everybody else, I'll pay you after I pay the sound crew. I can rely on the mics working. I can't even rely on you to rap on the mic. So I'm going to pay the sound crew before I pay you. I'm not paying you shit until you rap your 3 rounds. Bro, and I'm going to say this about how like A-Verb and other niggas complain about Smack. A lot of battle rap niggas is hoes. And I'm going to say that for a simple fact of, why the fuck are y'all mad that Smack doesn't want to pay y'all more money? Like, just put this into perspective. I'm not saying niggas don't deserve money. This is his business, him and those four dudes. They generate the income. Yes, the rappers come to rap, but do y'all buy the venue? Do y'all have the audience? Do y'all attract the audience? Do y'all buy the platform you rap on? Did y'all facilitate the app? Did the artist buy these things that give you the means to which to build a fan base in the first place? Did you even film your own fucking footage? Did you even brand yourself? Where does your merch get sold? Where are your battles posted? Are you a shareholder in the app? Do you promote it? No. You're a contractor being paid to rap on someone else's platform. Yes, artists deserve to be treated better, but y'all don't want to be treated better. No, you don't. Battle rappers don't want to be treated better. They want a daddy. That's what they want. I saw Nun Nun say in a video he got paid like $3,600. And salute to that, you know, because I think if you see a nigga getting paid $30,000-$40,000, that's one thing. But there's nothing we can do about that. That's their money. Put it like this, right? If I want to be paid tens of thousands of dollars, it's about business. What facilitates me deserving $10,000? What facilitates it? Hold on, y'all. Be right back. Ooh. All right, we live. You're doing enough to... I mean, all right, I could tune back in to that comment. I'll say in your particular situation, it is a lot of times with battle rappers who generally don't really buy into this nonsense, who come in with just the goal of, I rap good or I love the culture. A lot of the times, you're just caught in the crossfire of niggas treating this like bigger business when, again, you know, the only ones who are probably paying large amounts of money are them, facilitating these events, trying to get pay-per-views, POVs, pay-per-view, I already said that, but shit like that. So that shit costs bread. Live streams, getting the venue, paying the venue, you know, getting a venue that could have a large capacity of people. Then, you know, niggas be wanting to smoke, you know, certain venue, you got to pay for that shit. Don't let motherfuckers have a fire code where you smoking, and then niggas got to still try to have y'all smoking parking lots. But, you know, niggas still be lighting cigarettes in there. And yes, they got to pay for that shit. That shit be costing money. Should be like $400 fines, bro. And again, niggas have 9-to-5 jobs, bro. The price of living is not getting any cheaper. And motherfuckers expect to get paid $500-$600 and only bring 4 motherfuckers in here. It's like a lot of unrealistic expectations, especially from these lower league owners who ask a lot of artists for no money either. Like, bro, you should at least be able to cover a nigga's gas. I shouldn't have to ask for gas money. I'm going to keep it a band. If it's a situation where you're making profit off of these events. Because some of these niggas do be making some money, having some niggas in there. So, all right, if I fuck with you, bro, and I know you're reliable, you're consistent, shoot that nigga some gas money to come here. I'm not mad about paying me. I'm always saying, bro, just get me there. Especially you niggas who be in these bigger, like, eye battles and shit, be expecting niggas to come across country on their own dime for the opportunity to rap there. No, that's just not financially viable for most people, even somebody with a decent job. Like, bro, life's good, but I'll be damned if I'm about to go in the red because that's what you're doing. But I went to Charlotte one time and battled a nigga who had a PG, but I spent $1,000 that weekend. I rented a car, I had to take my kids, went to Carowinds, took them out to eat, gotta feed them, just to go in a battle where a nigga is trying to cut off my rounds. Slick had me feeling like I'll, anyway, so just for the battle number to come out. Was I covered for that? And that's not really on, per se, the league owner for my own other expenses. But at the same time, that's what it comes down to when it comes to battle rapping sometimes. Because you got people. Oh, my nigga Bob. Salute to Bob. Hey, salute to that, man. Salute to the rest of them niggas in close range, man. Making big waves and shit. Carolina shit. Man, but yeah, that's the thing when it comes to a lot of these. Yeah, bro, niggas not going in the red, bro. It's just, it's not, there's never been a point of battle rap where both parties respect each other enough to understand each other. Like, if I'm going to do an event and I'm going to have y'all come to the event, oh, peace, yeah, peace, bro. If I'm going to have, like, if I ever do an event again, I got to make sure I can pay all y'all. It's not on some flex, like, yeah, I got the bread like that. Nigga, ain't nobody got the bread like that be paying you niggas all the money. But I'll be damned. Like, even at the last event, bro, like, you can ask anybody on that call, bro. I asked if anybody needed gas money. If you needed gas money, I had the money to make sure everybody got home on my dollar, if need be. Not on some, I had to flex. It's just, yo, I'm asking y'all to come out here. You know what I mean? I can't pay y'all, but at least I can do, hey, bro, I don't got the gas. I got the gas for you to get here, nigga. If your car got other problems, I suggest them don't fucking come. It's realistic, bro. Like, I'm not, don't, like, niggas be, car be breaking down, my car don't work. Bro, you knew your shit wasn't about to take no 6-hour drive, 5-hour drive, so it's not. That's why I used to rent vehicles to ride with niggas, because I ain't want that wear and tear on my piece of shit-ass car when I had my fucking green minivan back at the time. Although my Kendrick Lamar shit, bad bar heavy, they called it the green bean and shit, bro. That shit was not taking no drive to Atlanta, so I rode with the homies. And that's fine to admit. It just at the same token, the expectation from niggas who come in all this way to rap here, because this for the platform. And that's why I say a lot of niggas should just build their scene where they're at, bro. Go to these bigger places if you take that hype, but bring that attention to your area. Yeah, that's a fact, bro. Like, at the end of the day, it's like this, bro. Niggas did what they had to do in the beginning because that's what we were raised up on doing. Atlanta's the hot spot in battle rap, so niggas gonna go to where it's popping at and make they stain. You feel me? Like, I came in from Charlotte, so I was going to all these leagues. But when I go back to Charlotte, they're not seeing the BS I went through going to these bigger leagues. They're saying, yo, you were on these leagues. That's dope. You know what I mean? You got to get out there and get on there. But when you come back home, you're supposed to come back to your area. Because at the time we was in Hinesville, there's no rule. We had to drive 6 hours to go to Atlanta. So when niggas started getting their stain, and then there was another group, Salute the Academy, them niggas were doing their thing in Savannah. We was in Hinesville, bar heavy. It was tension at first in the beginning, but then that shit turned into a brotherhood, bro. It was like, bro, niggas started doing their own events in the area. But then we had niggas from Wartown. So it was like it was like this dope shit where like middle and lower Georgia built their own. You feel me? So I just think that's something that I think is dope to me. And I think niggas need more of that, bro. Like, go to those bigger leagues, but you got to bring that attention to your area. You got to bring the attention to your area. And that's just with anything. But motherfuckers go to these bigger platforms. Oh, I see Sino. Yeah, I just tagged motherfuckers again. I didn't mean to go into a battle rap tangent, but it turned into a battle rap tangent. But, yeah, so I'll say this, touch on Candace Owens, because I ain't really get to talk about Candace Owens for real. I'm tired of this Sambo-ass coon doing her Chuck and Job dance back to nigga shores when her white daddy sent her on her way. This is literally like the third time in like less than like 10 years. It's getting old. It's getting tired, bro. But God's amazing, bro. Like, God is good, bro. Like, look, that's the irony, right? All that chucking and jiving, they will cool her being anti-black for years. But they drew the line at anti-Semitism. So you could degradate and justify the wrongful deaths of Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd, who, again, were not committing any crimes at the time of their deaths. Regardless of any history they try to fabricate, they did not deserve to be killed. She's on there saying they deserved it in her own people, bro. But she can get on a Joe Budden podcast and be given a platform in black spaces? Yo, I don't know why this weird push for like anti-black ass motherfuckers. Like, y'all know I hate Charleston White. I hate him. But for some reason, in these street spaces, a lot of niggas always say, well, he says some truth, though. And, you know, a lot of coons and Sambos read books, my nigga. They live in Master's house. Master gives him all of his favorite books to read, all his Dr. Seuss books and all of his, you know, Birth of a Nation novellas and shit. All that. Of course he reads. He's Master's favorite dog. He reads all of Mass's books to him when he goes to bed. Are you dumb? It's the type of literature that they read and consume that we just like skate over the bridge. Let's go over. Like, bro, like I don't understand. I was like, these anti-black figures can come in our culture and just like wiggle their way next to like some rappers and a bunch of other people. And it just be cool. I think a lot of the real shit that we conflate with her saying is things that she generally doesn't attribute to black people. Because the truth is about how black people glorify crime. America glorifies crime. It's like she doesn't say things that aren't true. She says a half-truth out of context. And she's framing it in a way where it's as if black people specifically exalt criminals. Donald Trump is our president, my nigga. This cannot. You feel what I'm saying? Like, Donald Trump is our president. A man who's been charged with with multiple lawsuits of rape. He had to pay a fine because he was found liable in the civil suit, meaning he was found guilty. It just, they were too long to proceed. Biden. Let's talk about Biden. Hillary Clinton and her destruction of Haiti. Benghazi. We can go down the list of us exalting criminals. That's American culture. The cowboy, the outlaw. That it's a framing tactic that a lot of neo-Nazi white supremacists do, who do that purposely to frame people of color or minorities as violent and anti. Man, I definitely would have voted Kanye just for the strict. No, I'm not voting for no fucking Kanye. Hell no. That nigga be up there. He be promoting that QAnon shit too. And that, like, well, niggas don't understand with alt-right. Like, they did a mind game. They are neo-Nazis. Neo-Nazis. Right? Neo-Nazis who take the rhetoric of the National Socialist Party from Germany, but then say socialism and Nazism are the same, but they themselves are neo-Nazis voting in laws that suppress women's rights, birth rights, take out history, and pushing authoritarianism. I'm not saying it's a dictatorship. No, I just think the people don't understand it, that the Congressional House matters. And when most of the Congressional House are, again, alt-right, a.k.a. neo-Nazis, but they don't like socialism, but they do for rich people, just not for poor people. It's like this mindfuck that Candace Owens is aware of. She's smart enough to know that. So that's why she goes to black spaces and she only argues with hip-hop niggas. She doesn't go on spaces where our intellectuals have battle. She going on a podcast with Lamont Hill and would look dumb. She going on a podcast with Vaughn and would look dumb. And look fucking silly. Or someone who's educated on the shit she's talking about. How she talked about slavery. Well, slavery was a common practice everywhere. Chattel slavery was not. But no one wants to go into the nuances of that. It gets corny. So I'm not saying she doesn't make valid points. Her points that she's making aren't points. It's common sense. Every black person doesn't exalt criminals, bro. And my thing is, we're not the ones in charge of the industry, so you have to ask a bigger question. Lee R. Cohen even came out and said that he openly promotes negative stereotypes because it makes him money. But if most rap fans are white fans who are buying hip-hop, that the statistics show that, how is the onus or responsibility of the imagery they're marketing still on the shoulders of us, when there are a plethora of other types of rappers that come out that we support that don't get pushed? So who's the person who's buying into this criminal imagery? And that's the weird shit. That's the weird shit. And that's the weird shit that she's been allowed to peddle in our community for 10 years. And you'll go on a fucking podcast with Charlamagne or Jess Hilarious and chuck and jive with these coon ass niggas, because ain't none of them have the wherewithal or their own goddamn upbringing to be able to understand what a coon is. So they let ones. Like, I don't believe in platforming coons. I don't believe in that. Any anti-blackness on a black platform is unacceptable to me. And I'm not saying that it's prejudice. I feel if anybody gets on a platform that's openly bigoted towards another group of people, I don't entertain that whole different opinion bullshit when your literal opinion is trivializing and generalizing of people and acting as if all of these people are savage. And I don't believe in that dehumanizing tactic that supremacists like to do to get over on the fact that they want to police you and everything you do. I'm not with that shit in the slightest. I don't support that shit. So anybody who's with that, like the Baltimore Bridge collapse, mad people are being found. Like, mad people could be dead. No, mad people. You feel what I'm saying? And the mayor has to wake up at 3 in the morning in a tracksuit and give a declaration to his city and talk to his city to try to give some information on to what's going on. And you mean to tell me that you niggas are worried about him wearing a tracksuit at 5 in the morning? Like he's supposed to put on a suit and tie? When he just wanted to address his city and say that he's trying to do... It's about diversity, inclusion. And it's like, oh, I don't want people in just because of the color of their skin. But by that virtue, why were you giving stipend? Why were naturalization laws a thing? By that virtue, right? Because they say, I don't want to think about the color of your skin. You know, then when we bring up systemic racism, why do you not fight against systemic racism if you don't want that? You only don't want it when things are amended to combat the systemic disadvantage that's already present in society. You ignore what's already present in society to make a stipulation because of the response to an already present bigotry in society. It's like this reverse mind fuck that they play about reverse racism. I'm not saying black people can't be bigoted, can't be anti-white. That is a thing. Black people can definitely be supremacists and be vehicles of white supremacy. Or she's a prime example. So they try to weaponize the fact that there are other black people who have some anti-black things that they get off, homophobic rhetoric that's really damaging to our community as well, because you're still alienating the fact that the more queer people who are oftentimes at the other end of physical violence and or murder are black queer folk. So you'd be fighting the power towards the motherfucker you don't agree with, then you don't mind them being murdered. And that's a dehumanization tactic. It's literally been a tactic since the fucking Spaniards went across to Portugal and all the other places went and colonized the known world. There's not a place in this world you can go to that hasn't been molded due to this supremacist ideology. India, you can't go to Asia. So again, India. If you go to Europe, you go to Brazil with the Portuguese. You go to the diaspora with the Spaniards. You come to the Americas with the British. These places were colonized and indoctrinated with a supremacist ideology to call the indigenous cultures and people who didn't conform into an ideological elite as savage. And it's been a tactic since we've been in this motherfucker, and it's not gonna change. You know what I mean? So niggas can play crazy all they want to, but this is why these coons get comfortable in our culture and keep trying us like we fucking stupid, because we keep letting them. You feel me? And that's the bottom line. Niggas keep letting them. And that's why, you know, they can keep trying our intelligence with saying they're getting removed of critical race theory. Like, niggas are saying they're removing that from schools and elementary, but critical race theory is a postgraduate course. So why the fuck would you need to use CRT as the excuse to get rid of black history out of pre-K? That doesn't even make any fucking sense. But of course it doesn't, because it's not about logic. Is solely based on the fact it's niggas. That's it. So any black person that stands on that platform and conforms to an ideology that's anti-black in sentiment, you're not welcome in my home. I don't like you worse than I don't like a racist white person. I expect racism from someone who views me or who comes from a society that typically views me just on virtue of my skin a certain way. I'm not saying every white person like that. I'm not. But it's also something that, just from my experience, I've come to expect from anybody who is adjacent to whiteness, whether it be Hispanics who can pass for white, whether it could be, you know, European people who actually conform to the idea of whiteness and not who just conform to their idea of their European ancestry, but that's a different conversation, the concept of societal whiteness in itself. But long story short, I'm not some person who really cares. I'd be friends with anyone, but at the same token, I'm just aware of a perception just based off how society has groomed people to view black skin. And that's a reality that we can't unsee. And for people who play stupid, that look like us, who deny it, who try to work against it, who try to downplay a prejudice that has cost the lives of millions of black, who are still killing millions of black people right now. Children in the Congo are being sold in bags. Our babies. Because y'all be like, we ain't African, fucking coon, weird ass niggas. We ain't African and shit. Our babies are being sold in bags right now. Our women aren't safe and protected in Congo right now due to militia groups being funded by weaponry from the IDF, from Israel. Like, oh, we don't give a fuck about Israel. It don't got nothing to do with us. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Guess who they're going to try that on if they get the opportunity to next? Guess who's training our police? Guess who's building cop cities in Atlanta first, a predominantly black city? And a black mayor co-signed it from the IDF. A black mayor in Atlanta co-signed the IDF having a cop city built that's going to train police and heavily militarize the police. They're going to have a fucking Judge Dredd fortress in Atlanta specifically for the purpose of training the police like the Israeli forces that are in Gaza right now, raising chaos for the innocent people. And Candace Owens got fired from her anti-black platform for saying it's a genocide. So she found her humanity for the Palestinians after she spent years of denying ours and standing on platforms that deny ours. If you're adjacent to an enemy that wants my destruction, you are my enemy. You don't make deals with the devil and get an amnesty pass because, you know, I understand why your deal was made. I don't give a fuck why you decided to talk nasty about the deaths of innocent black people and use that to push some narrative that racism isn't real. It's Nerd Rap Podcast, and we're out.